Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in southern Middle Tennessee. I am Luke Duncan. I'm the host of this not so live version of a podcast that started by being live about 5 years ago, but we do it not live way more than we do it live these days. And that's a song written by me, sang by me. It's just completely narcissistic. Biloxi Blues right there. It's about a 10-year-old recording too, man. We got to get some new music out there. And speaking of music, I'm recording a couple days early because I'm going to spend the weekend, I mentioned this last week, in Nashville with, no big deal, the Turnpike Troubadours. No big deal. Man, I'm so fired up for those guys right now, and they sold out two nights at the Ryman. Triple Threat and I are going up, going to spend the weekend in Nashville. So recording a little earlier, but we got a juicy show, as the last few have been, but this one is one I'm looking forward to, because there's a lot of information out there about this situation, and we're gonna jump in to that with a great guest here in just a minute. But first, I want to say welcome to all you low lifers out there, and I wanted to give you all a truck update because I've been getting a lot of messages since last week and on social media. Got a call actually Monday this week from the dealership down in Orlando. The truck is trashed. The motor's trashed and will be rebuilt. And for a little, just shy of $10,000, I'll be able to fly back to Orlando, get said truck, and it'll be hopefully running again. So no bueno, not what you want to hear in the least. Been a long week stressing over that, but not ideal. So GMC, if you're listening, big shout out for making a complete total piece of truck that can kiss my and all that, you know, 90,000 miles on it. I can promise you this. I get a bad taste in my mouth for so. I had a Nissan before this, a Nissan Titan diesel that I loved. I loved the truck, left me on the side of the road. It's the only other time I've ever broke down traveling. And so this GMC, this happened. So avoid Nissans like the plague now, because I'm like, eh, you get that stigma, right? And I'm definitely there with the old GM right now. So next vehicle, I don't know. Y'all hit me up in the comments. Tell me what I need. But I'm thinking Ford or Dodge, you know. I've had Toyotas. I like them. They're fine. I'm not crazy about the body style on the new one. But I'm not going to be in the market anytime soon, because I've got way too much invested in this piece of junk now. So going to hang on to it for a little bit longer and hope that my truck doesn't listen to this podcast and know that I'm cussing it. That way it gets me from point A to point B for the next you know, foreseeable future anyways. All right, let's thank some sponsors real quick, and then we're going to jump all up in this. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, bringing you LBL for going on 5 years now. Ethanol, I say it all the time, it's like that, it's just not good. It's like that creepy uncle at the barbecue that wants to harass you about your girlfriends and stuff at school. Hey, come here, boy. Come here. Let me talk to you. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. So you could throw this bottle of StarTron at Uncle Terry, or you could pour this in your tank and kick ethanol in the teeth with StarTron. Also, the manufacturers of StarBright cleaning products that make you look and feel so good. Your boat, your truck, they got it all. Your RV, get on there. Check it out, and if you see some StarTron, shake it for me. You don't have to shake it, but I like to shake it. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth. ProGuide Batteries, new to the show last year. Love the folks from ProGuide making quality batteries. I've had battery issues for many, many moons in bass boats. It's been honest to God, man, and it sounds like a sales pitch, and I know everybody says that, but I have. I've had a ton of battery issues in the 20 years or so plus that I have fished tournaments all over the place, and last year was the first year, I swear, that I did not have an issue, and I ran their lithiums and I ran their AGMs combined. The lithiums are fantastic. The AGM I'm running as a cranking battery. They have a new lithium that doubles as a cranking battery as well. Very cool, and you can go check those out at ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 is the code there if you decide to order something, and let them know you are a lowlifer, and I appreciate that. Baitworks.com. Your one-stop shop for all kinds of tackle junkie goodies there on the World Wide Web's Baitworks. Don't order it if you don't want it. Their shipping is absolutely fantastic. If they don't got it, they got it on the way, and they continue to grow their inventory by the week. These folks are taking this very serious. I met with them at ICAST. It's impressive to see how aggressive they are in this industry. And it's impressive for me to get the feedback from you lowlifers on how quick they get you what you're looking for. So you can use code Duncan-10 at bait-works.com. Duncan-10, that lets them know you're a lowlifer, and I certainly appreciate that. Go get you some tackle right now. I know everything is... if you're below the Mason-Dixon line, especially, it's miserable hot. They got all your deep water, you know, needs there. And if you're going up north, they got all them smallmouth goodies as well. Baitworks.com. And last but not least, hang the freaking banner. That Bassmaster Classic winning banner. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. I mean, they have been dominant out there on the tournament trail, thanks to Jason Christie, Bill Lowen, Caleb Summerall, getting it done out there for those guys on the water in the Bassmaster Elite Series. Of course, Jason winning the Bassmaster Classic out of his X21. My new ride with the Sea Deck, with the new Yamaha show, with my power poles, all my Garmin stuff, is waiting in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I just cannot get to it right now because of the old truck issues. But can't wait to pick up the new ride and do walkthrough videos for you guys. Of course, the X21, the official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus. If you go take a ride in one, you will understand why. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, building excitement since 1966. All right. So crazy week in pro fishing, with arguably one of the more interesting situations we've seen in a long time. And right when I think this summer's boring, I'm just like, it's just a blah, blah, blah. You know, there's been lots of things to talk about. It always, you know, we're like a hair salon, no offense to you ladies out there, but we are in this pro fishing industry and fishing marine industry. I heard rumblings of what was coming. Not what was coming, but I heard rumblings of what had happened with this situation at ICAST. There was a lot of talk about this. And, of course, MLF did their due diligence this week and disqualified Jeff Sprague from their first tournament of the year back in February due to him soliciting information very much in text and point blank lying about the fact that they have no information. Oh, it's okay as long as it's from the cutoff. Jeff Sprague, who in their first season, definitely on live camera, snagged bass sight fishing, and they released a statement about that then as well. I know Jeff tells a story. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and obviously this one is ablaze. The crazy thing for me is they had these texts a very long time ago. I've been told since February, as a matter of fact, and set on it. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret. Jeff, he runs a whatever lawnmower company. They're sponsored by Rapp. And he's definitely somebody that you know, Strike King associates with him. Strike King sponsors Major League Fishing. So, I mean, they're not going to do anything, you know, and I think they said on it. I heard rumblings, and you hear this from MLF from time to time, that people fail polygraphs, people pay fines, because I've heard this multiple times that has happened within that organization, and I don't think you can hear it a ton and it not be at least partly true, right? Are there 50 dudes that paid fine? I don't know, but that has certainly been something that has came up a lot. We'll ask our guest that today because he fishes the Bass Pro Tour. But this is one that, man, it's a head scratcher because it's a felony. First of all, I think you can't, you know, we saw an incident with high school kids putting fish in a basket. We saw another one, high school kids shoving weights down fish's mouth. And I think they're in big trouble from what I've read. It's tampering with a sporting event, man. You get caught fishing a basket at your local freaking Tuesday night, or you go to prison for that. And Jeff won $30,000 in this event that he very clearly got waypoints, wasn't supposed to. Lied about it in these text messages and ends up finishing fifth. And the funniest thing to me about all this, and y'all know when I get on these meme pages, these fake pages, because to me it is, and I've said it over and over and over, it does take a coward to absolutely blast people without putting your face and name behind it. And that's why I stand by anything I say. If I'm wrong, I will correct it. But it's all from right here, looking at a camera. You know, I've had my run-ins with a share of the just, and they're just idiotic. And it's just like you know, and word is starting to slowly get out about who runs all of these. And it's funny because they can't stand it. Like, there's one on Instagram in particular that introduced himself to a good friend of mine at the Bassmaster Classic. And he would not want his identity getting out, but he's that stupid. It's very bizarre how it works, because then they want notoriety. But in this case, I got to say, the Randy Flowers page on Facebook was certainly the sheriff in this situation. And they got a hold of the text, however they did, and they post this stuff on Facebook, and then this press release comes out. Of course, Jeff's response, he has been very quiet on social media. He never posted anything himself, but in their press release, he says he looks forward to fishing Major League Fishing for the rest of the season and many seasons to come. The problem here is, there's lots of problems, but the problem here is he shouldn't be allowed to compete, period, after everything that's happened. He damn sure shouldn't be allowed to finish the season, fish their last couple events. And I think the overwhelming theme with most of their anglers is definitely that, from what I'm hearing, okay? Because I've got a finger on the pulse over there with a lot of dudes, and they are big mad. Like, I don't see KVD gonna be like, hey, Jeff, want to go cut some grass and freaking, you know, go to the Sizzler with me? Like, that ain't happening, dude. That ain't happening. Like, it's just not. And I there's a lot of things I'm not gonna air people's dirty laundry that much. This is public, but it takes a certain kind of person to do these things. And I can just tell you that, like, that's who Jeff is. Like, it just is. I'm sorry. And I see people defend, oh man, you could make up fake text. If it was a fake text, I don't think there would have been an official press release. And here's why. This is the problem in professional fishing, and this is all leagues, all of them, all tournament trails. This is a problem. It's been about 6 or 7 years since we've even seen a major DQ at the top level. And here's why. They perceive this as bad press. It is when you mishandle it. But they're in the business of selling advertisements, okay? When you, this dude runs the lawnmower wrap or whatever, there's a reason nothing happens. When this dude's tied in, he's got a new signature series line of lose and strike king crap. There's a reason. There's a reason, man, that these things don't happen. And I think that this is, I think Jeff got caught. I think it's very black and white what he did. I think he has done it before. I have heard through the grapevine this many times. I had a friend in Florida that questioned another BPT angler one time. Is like, why don't you call me before you guys come to Florida? And he's like, well, we can't get information. He's like, well, Sprague calls me every time you guys come down here. He told me as long as it's before the cutoff, it's okay. And this is dating back to like 2019. So like, but it's not just a Jeff Sprague MLF issue. It's not. This is a very, very difficult rule to enforce for many reasons. You could have a guy standing on a boat dock blabbing about his brush pile thin. Is that getting information? You know, and a lot of the rules are written soliciting information, but it's very difficult when you're pumping gas at a gas station. People walk up, hey, man, you catch my June bug lizard right now. I mean, this crap happens all the time, but that is not getting information. In my opinion, that's just somebody that wants to talk to a pro fisherman or whatever. It's happened a million times. But when you go out of your way to deceive someone, that is your friend, to try to get information so you can get an advantage in a bass tournament, a professional level bass tournament, that's a problem. And this is I think this goes on the Elite Series. I think it goes on the MPFL. I think it goes on in the Bassmaster Opens after their information cutoff runs out. I think it happens, damn sure happens on the pro circuit, for sure. And I think it happens at BPT, obviously. And I think that, I think it's a very tricky situation. Like I said, it's very hard to police, but in this case, somebody got caught red-handed. I think there's always rumblings of this going on. So-and-so's got the juice help here, and so-and-so had the juice help there. For years, it is as old as time, but pro fishing certainly has, the leagues have an issue with making these decisions. They just do. Dating back to FLW with the Tony Christian situation, look it up, kids, if you can find anything on it. There was just a very small statement made that he was banned for life, but this dude rolled them for hundreds of thousands of dollars in one of the most, I mean, would make a damn Netflix documentary that people would watch that don't know anything about bass fishing. The details from that deal. Insanity. And it was just very quietly, hey, he's gone. Don't, please don't remember the fact that he won the BFL All-American and Everstart, placed in the top three in like three FLWs in a row, rolled them for money. And I know people close to that situation that, I mean, the details are mind-blowing in that situation. And this was many, many, many early 2000s, I guess. I think I was in college when this happened. So it's always been a thing. It's always been a thing. And, I think that it's just a damn shame. It is. It's a damn shame. But as guys see that people can get away with things, it just makes – if you're on the fence about being shady, you're just doubling down, right? Like if you're on the line, if you're like, well, hell, I ain't going to get caught. And then you see things like this going by the wayside. What do you think somebody's going to do that's desperate, that hasn't had a check, that like, well, hell, I'm going to call around. I'm going to get a guide. I'm going to do this. Like it definitely happens. It definitely happens. And I think that if Bass, you know, holds their head high. Well, we don't have any of this. Man, you probably do. You probably do. Somebody hasn't been ratted out. You haven't polygraphed the right guy. Same with MPFL. Same with MPFL. I know that's happened at MPFL. Like, you know, it's an assumption, but my God, it happens all the time. I fished the FLW Tour. You always heard of this kind of crap happening. Always with their information rules and different things. Like, it just, it's commonplace. Commonplace, but this one's dead to rights. It is what it is. And I know that, I will say this, and I haven't talked about this on the show, and I'm not going to dwell on this for a lot of reasons. But I do want to say Randy Flowers made a very big deal, the Randy Flowers page, about John Sokup and the video of him, what looks, you know, allegedly like he's snagging a bass that he's sight fishing for. He posted on YouTube. The video went down. I haven't talked about it on the show. I work for the MPFL. They decided to got with John. They made their ruling to not disqualify John in that situation. I can't speak to anything other than I do have an NDA, I will say, about things. And I'm also the commentator, so I don't get to – I'm not involved in those decisions. So you can think of that what you will. I've talked to John on that. John didn't want to do an LBL about it, and I don't blame him, and neither did I, really, so in that situation. But I know Randy has brought that up, and I know a lot of people have messaged me about that, asking me my thoughts, my opinions. And my opinion is this: the video made John look very bad. I've told John this himself. He knows that. The rest is up to him and the league and clearing his name. And I will also say this right here is that John is a very good guy. And I have watched John more than anybody in the United States, myself, Fat Cat, David Dudley last year, and dude's a fish catcher. Dude's a fish catcher. So that's, got to text our guest. That's all I can say about that. He won two MPFLs. I watched every second. He led our Angler of the Year. I watched him a ton. The guy's a freaking hammer. And I think that he's got a lot of natural ability. He's leading the Bassmaster Opens, AOY points right now. To me, like I said, it looked bad. Looked awful to John. It was a bad situation, but I've watched John fish a lot. I've watched John fish a lot. Like I said, live camera over his shoulder, and dude gets it done. He gets it done, man. He really does. It just as recent as Saginaw Bay. So I want to at least acknowledge that. I know folks will comment that because they've seen that. And I've had comments, I've had messages, and I haven't touched it with a 10-foot pole. And I said I would never let my job with the MPFL impact this show, but there are certain things that, just to be honest, contractually, that I'm not gonna do an hour on. I'm just not. So that's between them and John for sure. And I like John Sokup, and I love the league, and it is what it is. It is what it is. So that's that. All right, let's get our guest on here and see what he's got to say about all this madness. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been called the bad boy in the Bass Pro Tour. He hasn't, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Burge.
What's up?
I actually intro'd you. I said he's been called the bad boy of the Bass Pro Tour, but I completely made that up. But I said that right before you had. I mean, well, I mean, I think I've heard rumblings that you've been called a thing or two there at MLF by some of the higher ups. They're not Zach Burge fans because Zach Burge is not a puppet. I think you never have been anywhere you've been. You're not afraid to rattle the cage. And speaking of rattle the cage, I don't know if you heard that, but damn, I think my house just about got blown away by lightning or thunder or both. Damn, that was I got that all in the headphones right then. Wow.
Are y'all flooding bad over there?
We're not, man. I'm south of where the bad stuff's at, but I can hear it. Sounds like it's hitting your windshield right now.
Yeah, it's on and off right here right now. It's a little small storms everywhere, but we needed it because it hasn't rained since like June here.
No, you guys are in the dust bowl like we are, man. It's we'll get an afternoon 3-minute shower every now and then, but it ain't much. But I think the thunder is very it's here for a reason, dude. There's a lot of thunder and lightning going on, and I talked about this before I called you. I did a spiel and just about how this is a pro fishing industry issue across the board. I think you would agree with that. Just Major League Fishing. You hear rumblings of it. I hear rumblings of it all the time. These leagues, we haven't had a major DQ in like 6 or 7 years. You mean to tell me everybody's playing by the rules all the time? You know what I mean? Like and in this case, the info rule is very hard to police, but right now this one is black and white, but you were outspoken on social about it. I've seen guys like Jason Lambert have been outspoken about it. And I want to say to you guys, my hat's off to you because it's difficult to stand up when you know, that's your quote platform. That's where you're competing. So I appreciate that in you and always have.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody wants to, you know, I told somebody this the other day. I've always thought highly of Sprague. I don't, you know, dislike him, hate the guy. He made a mistake. That happens. People do things that they look back on, they wish they could change. And that's one of the things I'm sure he would not do if he could go back and look at it again. You know, the thing is, the fact that now, you know, that's taken away from 79 other guys, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. And when you think of it that way, that pisses you off.
No doubt.
So yeah, it is aggravating, and I don't like it because I don't like people stealing from me. I've had stuff stole from me before, and yes. It pisses me off to no end. And this is basically essentially the same thing. And that's just part of it. So, you know, he made a mistake. He broke a rule. They suspended him DQ'd him from that event. My problem with it, and I probably wouldn't be as upset as I am now. My problem with it was when it was earlier in the year and I fished heavy hitters, which has a whole different contract, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I found out during this.
Because it's a one-off event. It's not a regular season event. You have to qualify for it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, heavy hitters, Red Crest, the Cubs, they're all kind of the same deal. They got a different contract, different set of stipulations involved. Well, if we back up to last fall, I skipped out on two cup events that I qualified for. I chose not to go to them because I already had a Montana hunting trip planned. I had another one that I had pre-planned stuff that I've been waiting on for months to go to. I just chose not to go to them. It was no big deal. Nobody said anything. They just bumped the next guy in that, you know, would have came in. They went and fished, did their show. Everything was great. So we fished heavy hitters this spring at Palestine. And I had a tough first day. And I was going to let it kind of play out and see what happens as the tournament goes on. Well, I had a tough first day. I thought, all right, I'm fishing all nine opens. In my best interest, I should leave and get to the James with a day to ride around and just look at the place, just refamiliarize myself with what I'm going to be trying to fish this tournament. Told the tournament director that afternoon. He said, okay, appreciate you. Thanks for letting me know. Went back, packed my stuff. I was planning on leaving 2:00 in the morning. I get a phone call a little bit later that evening, says, hey, you know, you're subject to a fine and a suspension if you leave the event early. I said, well, I did not know that, but what is it? He said, well, I don't know. I said, so you're going to try to fine me and suspend me from something that you don't even know,
what it
is?
Rules,
I mean,
yeah.
how is this even possible if you don't even know what the penalty is going to be? So I said, so if you're going to try to do this, you need to get on the phone with somebody and get back with me in the next hour and let me know what it's officially going to be. That way I can make a decision. So hour goes by, calls me back. They're going to find, the league is going to find me up to $25,000 and suspend me from Stage 4 Bass Pro Tour event, which would have cost me points for Red Crest, points for heavy hitters. I would have got no check, no points, Stage 4. And I would have paid up to $25,000 fine for leaving a couple days early.
For right? leaving an event. At your own wheel, like just you're risking it and driving all over the country and fishing all these tournaments. Like it's your decision. That's your business, yeah. In my opinion.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Well, they have in that contract for those events, it says in there once, as I went back and had them resend me the contract so I could reread it and everything that evening. And it does say if you leave, once you qualify for an event, you're obligated to fish the full event until you're eliminated. So I weighed the two, you know, and I opted to stay, fish the tournament. Had a
caught
good
the hell out of them.
Yeah. It was a good outcome.
Yeah.
You know, minus the missing one open. So then right. I threw the nine, you know, the fishing all nine option out of the window,
right.
Which was tough. But my problem is when you look at the two, when you look at what happened with Sprague and, you know, they basically DQ'd him for one tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Big deal.
Several months after the fact as well, too, which I want to get your opinion on. Yeah.
Yep. So, and yet they were going to fine me up to $25,000 and suspend me from a future tournament that was coming up at the time. So when you compare the two together, it just rubs me the wrong way and it really pisses me off. And that's really what aggravated me more over the whole situation was that, yes, I'm, you know, there's several people there. I mean, there's a lot of people that are upset. Yes, I guarantee you there's more people that have not got caught that get away with it or mm-hmm. probably have gotten a slap on the wrist or a small little pissy fine because they don't want to drop a name to the public or something.
Because they
I'm
can't.
I'm sure
they,
it's happened.
Yep, I guarantee it.
And you touched on it just a second ago. You said you were probably going to get to it. I guarantee you none of this would have even come out had it not publicly been dropped because they had – they had an egg fall in front of them that they had to make a move on.
No doubt about it. And man, you know, love or hate meme pages. We've talked about that. That's kind of where this came from, in my opinion. And I heard rumor of this at ICAST and was hearing that there had been fines issued, but nothing else. And that there was an angler panel meeting down there. And a lot of guys were super pissed off and rightfully so. And then the texts were getting out. And publicly to people, and then they drop on Facebook, and they all of a sudden we've got a press release, but he's allowed to fish the other events. And dude, I've talked to you, I've talked to a lot of guys. There are a lot of people on the Bass Pro Tour that are very pissed off about the fact that, like you said, he stole from you guys. And if Major League Fishing wanted to, and they would never, obviously, but prosecute him, like, it's a damn felony. You're tampering with a professional sporting event at that point, right? I mean,
right.
$30,000 is not chump change,
right?
To take from an organization. But I want to ask you this, and this just because you've always had some incidents with them where you've spoke out against whether it's weather delays or whatever. And you and I talked back earlier this year, and I won't tell the public the exact reason that you and I talked, but I was hearing some things. I had somebody reach out to me about you, and I'm like, hey, I called you and I'm like, I just want you to know there's some rumblings. But didn't also at Heavy Hitters, you had a sponsor notified by the league that you were trying to leave that event as well? Like they called, like tattletailed on you, like, I think Zach's trying to leave.
Like, nobody's ever you know, came out and said where it came from.
Yeah,
I don't officially know. I thought it was kind of funny. You know, like I said, I let the tournament director know because I thought that was the right thing to do.
Hey, I'm leaving.
Let him know
you weren't gonna be a no-show. Nope. Hey, I'm just not gonna be there my round.
No big deal. It wasn't an issue, and I'm sure he passed that knowledge to somebody else. Well, next thing you know, I've got phone calls from sponsors saying, why aren't you, or are you leaving the event? And I had to explain my situation, explain my choice between, you know, my reasoning between comparing the two and trying to go here and making a better decision for me at that moment in that position I was in. And, you know, you know, it was a business decision for me.
No doubt.
And I thought it was kind of interesting how quick the knowledge got back to them out of nowhere, because they're not on any kind of, you know, they're not part of management. They're not part of the team that schedules things or plans things or determines who gets a camera, who doesn't, or anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm getting a phone call from them saying, I heard you're leaving the event. Like, wonder where that came from.
Yeah, exactly. And that has happened not just to you, but to multiple anglers. I've heard that since the inception, that does happen when I've been, obviously it's well documented. I've been I don't even fish BPT, and I've had the same thing happen to me, except it was with my employer. So, you know, it's interesting that does happen. But I want to ask you this. Do you think it had this been you, I've been thinking about this ever since this came out. Do you think that if this is you, or this is, you know, somebody that doesn't have, you know, necessarily the relationship with maybe one of their sponsors or whatever, do you think that this comes out in February when they are made aware of it, if it's you? And I know that's all, you know, that's us just, you know, playing fantasy world, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know.
I guarantee it could have been played out. It would have played out a little bit differently.
Yes.
Depending on who might have been in the situation.
Yes.
You know, because I, you know, nothing against, it just depends on not necessarily who you are, but who your deals are with. I mean, do you think
yep.
Sprague's got, you know, NGK and Toro is big time sponsors for him?
Yep.
How do you think Major League Fishing feels about one of their guys being caught cheating? I mean, I'm sure they're hesitant on it. They don't want to really say anything because they don't want to make them look bad.
Well, that the ad but, dollars are always the most important thing, right? To all the leagues. Yeah. And this is Bass, MPFL, freaking BPT, Pro Circuit, whatever. That's always the deal. Like, that's why you do not see, and this is what I said, they perceive these rules infractions as bad press when they've actually got it wrong. Like, if you make an announcement, if you expose what actually happens and you're transparent with the public, it actually makes you look better, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, if something like is what they should have done when it first came out, whoever found out about it first, if they would have cracked the whip and made a statement about it, they would be much more respected.
No doubt.
Amongst the whole fishing industry.
Yes.
Everybody involved would have been like, okay, they're not playing any games, yes. You know. You're here to be serious, and, you know, and I guarantee you 79, well, probably 70, 72 or 74 guys in our league would 100% agree with me on
yes.
that.
Yes, yes. I think that is, you're spot on, dude. Like because what I said, the problem you get from situations like this is if you had somebody that was tiptoeing that gray area anyways, and they're like, well, hell, they don't do anything, or they fine me $5,000. Well, they're gonna jump in the gray, like right off, son. Yeah. They're going off the high dive. Like, who cares? Yeah. If I can pay $5,000 to try to win 100, that's my penalty if I fail a polygraph or whatever. Just throwing numbers out there, like, well, hell, what do you think I'm gonna do if I'm shady? That's the problem.
That's the if, you know, if you get caught.
Yes,
which means you're probably only gonna get caught when you get polygraphed, and then that's a if they're actually going to do anything about
yes.
it.
Yes.
And they're obviously not going to make, they're not trying hard to make it public knowledge on who's cheating and who's not cheating. So, I mean, why not play your odds?
that's what people are certainly doing. If you hear the rumblings that I do, you know that. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's what,
yeah,
that's what you know.
I've been on the phone nonstop with people the past 3 or 4 days, and it's all been the same thing. Hell, we've been joking back and forth. Hell, I'm gonna send you waypoints, you send me waypoints, they're not gonna do nothing.
Yeah. And you're like, well, just make sure it doesn't get screenshot and put on Facebook. I mean, that's hey buddy, delete the people are gonna start doing it on Snapchat, so they delete. I mean
yeah,
it's
so it disappears.
Yeah, so it disappears. But there's always been this stigma, you know, in the industry. And the sad thing for me was reading some of the comments. There are people that absolutely think this is fake and made up against one of their dudes they like in fishing, and that's fine. But there are a lot of people that just think every pro fisherman cheats. Like on the Wired to Fish post about it, I was laughing. Like I've got my popcorn reading the comments, and I'm like, oh my God, pro fishermen are not looked at very well, like by the general public a lot. These folks don't even know. And then you have the people like, oh, big deal, somebody told him where to go fish. I get where somebody might think that's different than putting one in a basket or tying one out or whatever. But
right. The
problem I had with the entire thing was the deceit to the guy he was texting. Well, we just have an info cutoff. Like, that's shadier to me than asking for the information. You're just admitting, hey, I'm just going to lie straight up. And I said before you came on, I heard through the grapevine, allegedly, that this has happened with him before with a friend of mine in Florida. And this friend of mine called another BPT guy and said, well, I don't know why you don't call me when you come to Florida, like after 2020 when you guys have been down there. And he's like, because I can't get info. He's like, Jeff calls me every time you guys come down here. He says, as long as it's before the cutoff, it's good. So, like, when I heard that, I'm going, because here's my thing. this is what all of this, maybe, like you said, maybe he'd made a mistake. Maybe this is the only time he's ever done anything shady in his whole life. But what this leads you to believe is he's very good at twisting that. And did he do it in every one of them he ever freaking fished? Because that's what I would be thinking if I had to suit up and fish against him at the next one. I'd be like, hell no, I don't want to do this. This dude stole from me.
Yeah. And you know, that was the other part of my question was the way the press release came out. The one I read was Wired to Fish when it came out. I read
me
it.
Too.
And they said he did this, did that. And he said, I made a mistake or something to that aspect. Well, it's been the same rule. That rule has been the same rule for 4 years.
Since you got started.
We can't get info.
That's right.
So is that something that, how was it a mistake?
It wasn't a mistake.
After 4 years of fishing. And have you done it at every one of them?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you got? I've gotten polygraphed every year.
Yeah. I've heard that. Certain guys get it a lot. Yeah.
I get polygraphed every year.
And I've heard they're very strict polygraphs. I've heard they're crazy, like intense polygraphs from buddies that have had them there.
It's a 2.5. I haven't had one that's been shorter than 2.5 hours.
Jeez.
Or 2.5, 3 hours every time. And, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm sure most people don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, this situation here, I mean, how many times has it happened in the past? Nobody's going to know. Nobody knows. I mean, you could essentially say that I've been stole from at who knows how many events.
I was going to say probably more than you realize. And I think that would be a shocker to anybody listening that they're like, this really does it does happen, man. Happens in all the leagues. It happens in the opens after the cutoff point. I mean, dudes have a bad first day, they're calling around. Like, this kind of crap, you hear rumblings of it all the time. It is very, very hard to police. Do you think that professional fishing has a cheating issue though, or a rules issue? How would you say? Because this is a very tricky rule, you know that,
right? Yeah, and I would word it as I would call it a rules issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a hard one to dial in. It's a hard one to make perfect. A lot of them are. But the thing about this one is when the schedule comes out and you know where you're going, you don't talk to nobody else about that.
It's black and white. You can't go fishing with your buddy there. You can't go fishing with your wife there. Like, it's black and white.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing unless it's within the other anglers that you are fishing that event with.
Competitors.
Period. Yep. And it's, I don't see how you can misconstrue that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with you. That's what I was going to say. Are you, you've been doing this for a while now, man. You're a young dude, but you're certainly a tournament veteran. For you, do you like the information rule like that? Would you rather see it like, you know, when you and I both fished FLW, you could receive information, but it was within certain time frames.
Right.
And there was a limit to what you could get. And it was, but again, it's kind of a convoluted rule. It was, you know, you can be on the water for 30 days, but it can only be with a guy that's got one leg and a mustache. And, you know, he can, and then it's like, but then so-and-so with the YouTube channel can go with a guide because that guide is now a co-angler in the tournament. Like, I've seen some crazy things that people get around rules. But would you rather it be, hell, good luck, boys, the one with the best network wins, or would you rather it be no information?
I'd rather it be no information, just straight up no information, go fish, and be done with it.
Yeah.
Just as much black and white as possible. And that's, you know, like, so they've been changing up our rules amongst being able to talk within ourselves to a certain extent for basically it's changed every year.
Oh yeah. Because you guys aren't even allowed to talk to your roommate or whatever. You can't have a practice buddy. Yeah.
So since we started, I don't even stay with anybody. I usually stay by myself or with my family or whatever. I go to the event, fish the event, go home, or go to the next one. And I don't talk about it. I don't do anything about it because I've been so
paranoid,
mentally messed up about it, because I'm like, if I, you know, I might slip up, say something, or might overhear something and get paranoid, have to call tournament director, tell them what I heard, tell them, you know, hey, I did it at Lake Fork. I think it was the first time we went there. I walked in the taco shop, was getting overheard live on a big TV right there behind the counter.
Oh, wow.
Walked right out of the store, had to call tournament director, said, hey, just went in here and got some tackle, and they had live playing. I didn't know, you know, I'm just calling you to let you know that I saw the live TV playing, and I turned around and walked out. Just stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's inadvertent. Like, you're not sitting on your MacBook watching or your iPad watching the stream. It's like a dude walking up to you at a gas station being like, hey, Zach, big fan. I got some brush piles over here by my doctor. You're like, hey, man, I can't, you know, they're eating a June bug lizard. No. That's receiving information, but you didn't ask for it. Like, you're sitting there pumping gas, and that happens all the time.
Yeah, and they've made it to where that is inadvertent.
Yes.
You know, deal, and, you know, you don't have to report that stuff anymore. But at the same time, when I go to fish these particular events, I try to keep it as low-key as possible.
Yeah.
Show up, fish, go home.
And that kind of takes the fun out of it, though, right? Because I can remember Zach Burge on the FLW Tour, and he's with Kurt Mitchell and Jordan Osborne, and y'all are like the life of the damn party before the off day, man. Y'all are having fun. Yeah. Everybody's hanging out. And, like, that's the camaraderie, the brotherhood. That's why we all do this, kind of what gets us into it a lot of the times, and sitting around BSing with your buddies about, well, I had 6 bites on a jig, whatever. Taking that out of it does kind of – I mean, it does suck. Like, it just does.
It does. I mean, yeah, like you said, I enjoyed the hell out of sitting out there BSing on an off day, talking about, you know, practice and just talking, hanging out with your boys and having a good time. And then, you know, and then you go to being so paranoid about looking at something
wrong.
Can't
say anything, yeah.
Slipping up, saying something you're not supposed to say. It's like, eh.
Well, let me ask you this, though, like, and I know the inadvertent stuff, I do appreciate that wording in there, but, like, when you got a house with 2 or 3 dudes staying together, and we all back our boats in, and I'm sitting there spooling up for the next day, and I'm tying on, like, if you're standing there talking to me, and you see a jig on my front deck, that's essentially you're seeing what my approach is going to be, you know what I mean? Or maybe I had a big first day, and you walk by the deck of my boat, to just say, good job, Luke, and I got 6 spinnerbaits on 6 rods, and that's all I got. It's like, I mean, that's information. That's why that rule is so, like, it's damn tricky, man. It's tricky.
It is, yeah. Yep.
And you know it happens. Like, it's just a guy gives a nod to something, right? You know what I mean? Like,
I guarantee the
number one thing I used to hear on the FLW Tour when I was a co-angler from people is, I've heard it, man. I've heard, hey, man, like, you'd be fishing a tournament on Pickwick, just throwing an example out there. If we were on Wheeler right now, would they be in 8 to 12 feet of water on the you know what I'm saying? Like, because you're not asking about Pickwick. Hey, man, how are they biting on Wheeler? Are they biting that swim bait up there or whatever? Like, that crap goes on all the time. All the time. Yep. All the time. And the rules are never going to be perfect, obviously.
No, they're not. And you won't ever be able to please everybody with the quote perfect rule. I mean, there's going to be somebody that is opposed to something on it. No matter how many others you please, you're going to have a handful that disagree with something or feel like that's not right either.
No doubt about it. No. How do you think, I know you guys have text message groups and different things within the organization. Or, I mean, is the overall temperature, I mean, are guys, from what I'm hearing from the guys I'm talking to, which is a pretty good sample size too, they're pissed, man. They're pissed about this. I don't think anybody's going to invite Jeff or the, you know, powers that be over to a barbecue at the next event.
I haven't talked to one person that's been positive about it.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, and I've talked to a lot of people the past few days. And I mean, hell, You stole from us.
Yep.
You stole from me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be happy about it.
Well, and
quite frankly, I'm
Well, and ultimately, it makes the league look bad, right? Like it does. It makes them look bad. It makes all you guys as a group, it's like, man, it is a black eye. Because it makes people, because you guys do have haters. Like, obviously, the Bass Pro Tour, Major League Fishing in general, when the split happened, you know, hell, I've talked about it on here till I want to throw up. But there are still a lot of people that are like, I'm not watching that. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And, dude, this is just fuel for the fire. And it's the same. Look, man, we've had instances at MPFL. I talked about that before I called you. We've had a couple over in our first two seasons. And if you've got a hater or you've got any kind of negative person out there, by God, they're going to dig this crap up and they're going to always hang on it. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what organization you fish. MLF, Bass, MPFL, I mean, doesn't matter. If somebody dislikes you or has a grudge against you or something, they're going to go out of their way to hassle you over something at some point or any opportunity they get able to. That's how it is life.
I was going to say, that's just life. Yeah, that's just life in general.
And I don't know. I feel like, you know, we touched on it earlier. I feel like if they would have come out when they first learned about it and not just sat on the information for as long as they did, if they would have made a statement, like I said, cracked a whip and made an example, then they would have had a lot different outlook from a lot of different people.
Totally agree.
They would be more respected from that aspect.
Totally agree.
But you know, when you think about it that way, too, you think how many other times or how many other anglers have been in a similar situation or broken a rule or been fined, however much. Nobody knows about it. Nobody's heard. They haven't said anything about anybody.
There's always rumblings of it. But for me, even talking about it on here, talking about it in public, period, like it's just a rumor, right? Like if a guy fails a polygraph, that's between him, the league, and the dude doing the polygraph and – I mean, obviously you hear it and I hear it, but it's like until like in this situation, I can see it black and white. I can read it. Okay. By God, this is cheating. This is cheating right here. But on those situations, I'm here, you know, you hear about people paying fines, you hear all these things, but shit, man, if I'm not in the room, I don't know. If I'm not on the email chain, if I'm not on the phone call, like I don't know. But this is one that you're right. Had they came out in February did it. And man, I think you make him sit. I do. Like I I've been hard on Jeff a couple of times and this week in particular have been, but I just think that like, he don't need to fish the rest of the year, period. Like he doesn't deserve a chance to make more money. Like I just don't
if you're going to compare what my fine was going to be for just leaving an event 2 days early compared to a fine for cheating, then they're completely off on how they called it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Not even
remotely close.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to fine me up to $25,000 and suspend me from stage four for leaving 2 days early, then you should have taken the $30,000 that he made, sent it back to 79 other guys, distributed evenly, and suspended him for the last two events of the year on top of a DQ from that one.
Yep.
That would have been at least in the right direction.
For sure.
When you compare it to what they tried, what they said, if I had left early, what I would have been fine, it would have at least been worse off in that direction, not the other way. Hell, I didn't even cheat. I didn't do anything wrong. I just
you were cheating on MLF with Bassmaster, you bastard! How dare you try to go do different things in life, you son of a bitch, you! Dude, And that's an interesting, because you guys have some dudes in the opens, obviously Poche, you, Cody, you guys are, and you're fishing, you've got one more Southern left, and then you're fishing the Centrals as well. Didn't get to fish the Northerns because of heavy hitters. You know, I got to put you on the spot just because I got you. Next year, this all nine opens rule, do you like it? What do you think? Because if you're fishing BPT, because that's where you're at, that's where you're feeding your family. But if you got your eye on the elite at all, or at least having options, like that's going to get interesting. Having to fish all nine.
I personally like the fishing all nine change that they made. Mm-hmm. I like it. I don't really have anything negative to say about it other than it's going to be hard. harder.
Yes.
If you're already fishing something else.
Yes.
Number one, because there's going to be a conflict. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Without a doubt.
Something's going to happen where you're just not going to be able to make all that. Well, somebody's going to schedule something.
It's also, something. Don't you think it's going to be like a game of chicken too, where whose schedule is going to come out first? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like BPT, if they see those opens, they're going to be like, have them in there. They're going to be watching that, waiting on those opens to drop. And Bass is going to be sitting over here like, we got to wait till they drop theirs before we can drop these open schedules. Like, there's definitely a game of chicken going on with that for next year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. When I saw the 9 tournaments change, you know, with the remainder of what I've got to fish this year, I've got 2 more opportunities to make it. And if I don't, it's going to be a lot harder from that point forward trying to make it. So I've either got to, you know, make it through the Centrals or the Southerns and be able to fish both. Hopefully that was my outcome. Or my ideal outcome was being able to do that. So we don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen. I'm just going to have to play it out the last 3 events.
You're where? You're 10th in the Southerns, right?
10th in the Southerns with 2 elite guys already in the points.
Okay, so essentially 8 points. Yeah. So only 5 spots to go to get there, and you can damn sure do it at Hartwell in the fall. And then you had a great start down at Ross Barnett too, right? Like a 25th or something?
Yeah, decent finish down there. So we're starting in the right direction.
Yeah, no big deal. You just need like an average. I had Sam George on 2 shows ago, and I think it's like a 12th place average. So that was my point in the opens talk I had a couple weeks ago, is I don't think your guys that are bitching so much about them taking away the one division thing realize how hard it is to make it in one division. Like, you got a freaking, because you had a top 10 in Florida, and then where were you at Cherokee?
39th.
Yeah, which is out of 230 is a great finish. Like, it's not a win, but it's a damn good finish. And you're 10th. It's tough, man.
Quite frankly, I feel like it's easier to make it fishing 9.
For sure.
Just because of your averages.
The odds are in your favor, for sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that I'm sure are upset about that because they're not going to be able to physically make all 9 with jobs and
I get it.
Obligations. And, you know, that's I feel for them. That's part of it. I see their, you know, kind of frustration towards it. Understand it. But, you know, it's – unfortunately, it's part of it. You got to fish with what you're dealt.
Well, look,
see where it leads.
And I've said on here the easiest question to ask somebody in that situation, though, is if you were going to make it, how are you going to fish the elites? If you can only get off for 3, man, that's tricky. And I get why they're upset. Like, that's never been a part of my speeches on this. But you know, there's no perfect route to being at the top of the sport. I mean, hell, man, on your side of the fence where you're at right now with MLF, Toyotas qualify you for the pro circuit to pay $35,000 in entry fees and fish 6 events and hope you can get in the top 10 to make the Bass Pro Tour and hope they don't change the rules on how you get in. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all there's no perfect way to live your dream, quote, live your dream. And I think you're a testament to that, dude. I watch you out here busting your ass every day, running a bulldozer, doing all this craziness. And I'm like, guys, even the top pros in the world still do other things. They have to. You're only fishing 9 weeks a year, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, if you're not, like, if you're fishing Elite Series or you're fishing Bass Pro Tour only, you got a hell of a bunch of downtime.
A lot.
You better be doing something else.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate. I've had a lot of success over my short career so far. And I got a lot of really good sponsors that, you know, I've been working with for years now, but I still do things at home to make more money. And I don't just come home and sit on my ass and not do anything and wait till the next one.
No.
I mean, I get up early every day and do something, whether it's, you know, we bought a farm down the road. I've been basically 2 months I've been home. I've been working on it every day, if not every other day, at least doing something. Or, you know, we got a dirt business too that runs every day, daylight till dark, pretty much. I mean, it's just, it's a never ending deal. And I I don't know. I just can't go to 6 or 7 tournaments and then sit on my ass the rest of the year and not do anything.
No, you're definitely not that guy. And then sometimes you got to shoot stuff in the face too. Like, let's just be honest. Absolutely. Like, sometimes you spend a lot of your year just making sure that people are safe from harm from turkeys and ducks.
That's right. You gotta protect your people.
Zach Bird is the protector of the people.
That's just a part of my business too, though, because allows me to, you know, work with companies throughout, not necessarily an off season. I just get to promote, you know, that brand 365 days out of the year instead of half that.
That's very smart.
And that's why I like working with companies that are both in the fishing industry, hunting industry, shooting industry, Midway, Flambeau. They're just two examples of that. They're in everything. And that's, you know, to me, that's the perfect company to work for.
And it's
somebody
not,
I can.
Well, it's not a hard sell for you because you're so passionate about that side of your life too. And so when people make good products that you believe in, it's, you know, I know I follow all your adventures and it's like, man, it just, your sponsors are a perfect fit. They just are. It's awesome, man. Well, dude, look, I appreciate you being open and honest. I appreciate you coming on. Obviously it's a bad situation. But I've always respected you from the first time I met you, man. And, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with me on here and hopefully, you can win the next one.
I hope so. I'll give them hell. I promise you that.
Cayuga, right?
I appreciate you having me. Yeah, Cayuga.
Yeah. Well, best of luck, dude, if I don't talk to you. And tell that family I said hello.
Thanks, man. I'll do it.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
See you, buddy.
Zach Burge, ladies and gentlemen, right there. The problem. He's a problem. He's been referred to as a problem over there at BPT. I got to give him crap about that. That's an inside joke between Zach and I. He's a problem. I think that's he said it way better than I could ever say it because he's living it. You know, I'm just a guy that runs my mouth week in, week out. I get to cover the sport and not in it at that level anymore. And it's refreshing to see that honesty because so many people do hold back in these situations for fear of offending someone, for fear of the league coming down on them. And you heard that right there, man. He's had issues with, you know, maybe sponsors getting phone calls, maybe getting threatened for leaving an event that he's just like, hey, I'm risking this to give up money being here that I could win to go chase this other deal. And that is nothing but a MLF versus Bassmaster thing. They just didn't want him going fishing the open. It had nothing to do with him leaving the event. It was where he was going, period. Period. Don't let anybody fool you on that. That's all it had to do with. And the contract does say that, but look, if he had to leave for any other reason, it probably would have been okay. Hey guys, I'm pissed off I didn't catch him. I'm gonna go home. Okay, man. Hey guys, I'm leaving to go to a Bassmaster Open. The flag is raised in that situation. Of course, Zach benefited from staying there, ended up making the top 10, had a great event. But it's always interesting hearing from guys that speak the truth, and Zach is certainly one of those. So I appreciate him coming on. I appreciate each and every one of you. Hopefully you got something out of this little eye-opening experience like I did listening to Zach tell some things he did. The sport is never going to be perfect. It never has been perfect. We're working together. And I think that as long as there are whistleblowers, so to speak, and as long as there are guys like Zach Birds that are willing to speak up and speak out about things happening within an organization, it will only get better. It will only get tighter. It will only get better, more competitive, even playing field as we continue to go along in the sport of pro fishing. All right. I got to get off here because I got to go get ready to go, pack up to go to Nashville for the weekend to go hang with them boys, them Troubadour boys. Thank y'all so much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I will see y'all next week. Be sure to hug your mama, take you out with some Biloxi Blues like always. All I got to say is thank y'all. Oh, something real quick, real cool. Going to announce a new sponsor next week that is that I'm as excited about as anything I've ever been a part of. It's a non-fishing industry company. It's going to be very cool, and looking forward to that. So thanks to y'all for the support. That's how things like this pop up in my life, because you guys tune in week in and week out. All right? And we'll see y'all next week.
Could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow. Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are. Any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.